nationally recognized speaker, facilitator, and author Steve Klein sits down with the most fascinating difference makers in Dallas-Fort Worth. Hear from top CEOs, local entrepreneurs, and key playmakers in business right now with your host, Steve Klein.
T.S. Eliot said, "Only those who risk going too far can possibly find how far they can go." Hi, I'm Steve Klein, and welcome to Playmakers Talk Show. In the studio today are two guests who risk going too far. Our first playmaker believes the food service industry has been blurring for the past 10 years, while our second playmaker went from football to banking. With us today is the CEO of a company that is not a restaurant and is not a grocery store. Well, our next playmaker is the CEO of one of the newest and most profitable banks in Dallas. These great playmakers are Adam Romo. Adam is CEO of Eatsies, and Craig Schief. Craig is CEO of Texas Security Bank. And we're going to begin today's show with Craig. Craig Schief is currently chairman, CEO, and president of Texas Security Bank. In June of 1988, he accepted a commercial credit training position with First Interstate Bank, which was the predecessor to Wells Fargo. During his last 5 years at Wells Fargo, Craig managed a team of middle market lenders. In March of 2003, Craig accepted the position of community bank president at the Swiss Avenue location for Bank of Texas. In 2004, he was promoted to president of business banking for the Dallas market with responsibility for 7 community banks in Dallas and Houston. In April 2007, Craig left Bank of Texas to begin the process of obtaining regulatory approval and raising capital for an independent bank focused on the needs of people who exercise their right to free enterprise, the independent business owner. In May of 2008, Texas Security Bank began operations with $26.5 million in new capital. Today, Texas Security Bank has 3 locations and total assets of $230 million. Craig, welcome to Playmakers Talk Show.
Happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
You have an interesting background. You've obviously been in banking for a while, but back in the earlier days as you were growing up, you were in football. So how does a former college football player start a bank during a recession?
Well, that's a great question. You know, it's obviously been a journey and a process. You know, when I was in college and I did play football, I got a business degree in marketing. And after I graduated, I knew I wanted to get into some type of technical sales. And I came back to Dallas from Ada, Oklahoma, and there weren't too many jobs, especially for somebody with a degree from a university nobody had ever heard of. And so that really caused me to go back and get my graduate degree from UNT, and which was a great experience. And I actually went to the placement office of UNT to see who was interviewing and hiring, and that was the basis of the degree that I took, and it was banks. And banking, if you think about it, is somewhat technical sales, and it's just helping people to understand how to fund their business, but it's primarily problem solving. And really the light went off with me. You know, you have a business degree and you take economics classes and you understand what free enterprise is. But it wasn't until I went to work for Bank of Texas and really started to focus on owner managed businesses, people who had saved a lot of money, who were willing to take some risk, who had sacrificed, that you really gain an appreciation for what it takes to start an enterprise. And people look at the success that business owners have and maybe even the lifestyle that they have, but nobody sees them when they're starting out sweating payroll, right, putting everything at risk, putting your reputation at risk, and sacrificing a ton. So in serving those business owners, what was really energizing was just hearing their stories. Every one of them has a story, and it was, and they're all very inspirational. And so along the way, I realized that, and it was one of these things where I had an idea for a bank that focused on owner-managed businesses. And sometimes we have ideas, and they come and go, and we don't execute on them. But then they become kind of a nagging burden, and to not do it, I wouldn't be able to live with myself. So it really became an obligation that if I had an opportunity to exercise free enterprise, that I needed to do it. And the realization, I developed a realization for the impact that those type of business owners have on our economy. They pay about 85% of the taxes in this country. They represent about 85% of the job growth in this country. And so to have a bank whose mission statements to elevate the champions of free enterprise seemed like a noble purpose. And so everything in terms of our product offering and our service offering is really geared around helping business owners become more successful. So that's how we got there.
Yeah, Focus is the independent business owner. So you're really a niche bank in terms of focusing on that segment of the population. You were at Bank of Texas when you came up with the idea. How did that come to you? Or why did you see the need to start a bank for the independent business person for the free enterprise system?
Yeah. My background at Wells Fargo was very beneficial because we dealt with larger companies that were professionally managed. And there are a lot of disciplines associated with running an enterprise that a lot of business owners have really never had exposure to. There's a lot of very successful business owners who don't have Wharton MBAs. They have a good product, a good service. They take some risk. And so what I saw a need for in most small business owners, I really counsel them, you want to have a good CPA. You want to have a good attorney. You want to have a good banker, and you want to have a good insurance person. And I encourage them to look for people in those spaces that are good business people. You know, we pride ourselves on at our bank, one of our mantras is we want to be great business people that just happen to be bankers. And so we also provide significant amount of continuing education through TSB Business Institute on some of those disciplines that I'm talking about. So over the course of about a 25-year career, you identify things, you can identify certain business disciplines where a lot of business owners just don't know what they don't know. And what we found is there's an enormous appetite by these business owners for knowledge in certain areas that they don't know what they don't know. It could be facilities management. It could be ERP systems or technology-related stuff. It could be sales management. It could be how to properly fund the business, you know, capital, working capital management and cash flow management, how to read financial statements. You know, there's a lot of successful or good, profitable small business owners that aren't all that adept at reading financial statements, right? And so so it really became apparent to me that need, calling on these business owners at Bank of Texas, and it's been a blessing. It's been great.
Well, one of the things you mentioned was continuing education, which is on your website, because you do have those on a regular basis. And for those who are following along, it's texassecuritybank.com, and there is a area there where you can check out the continuing education they have at, I believe, what you call your Metro branch, which is in Farmers Branch.
Right, MetroCrest, yes.
So talk about the different branches. You have three of them. Where are they located?
Right. Our first one is located over in the Design District of Dallas, which is very much a transitioning neighborhood, especially over the last 5 or 6 years. And it's located at the corner of Turtle Creek and Irving Boulevard. A lot of people in Dallas aren't aware that Turtle Creek runs on the other side of 35 as well. But it's a highly industrial area. And so we've always been very strategic on where we put our location. Because our primary customer base is owner-managed businesses, we did a significant amount of research on where they're located. And then obviously we looked at what the competition in those sub-markets was or is as well, and that area is the best. It's a Stemmons corridor. There's probably 6,000 businesses within a 3 or 4 mile radius. I mean, it's phenomenal. The neighborhood we're in right now is a prime example.
Well, correct me if I'm wrong, but the city is moving to develop the Trinity area, riverbed area, and if they do, if and when they do, that your business would explode right there.
Yeah, and if again, what that neighborhood looked like when we went in there, probably I guess 6 years ago, versus what it is now is significantly different. There's the Trinity Strand Trail, which is similar to the Katy Trail, which is under construction and about to be completed. Significant amount of multifamily development that's over there. And it's unique in terms of It's probably the only place in Dallas where there's just a high concentration of buildings that are perfect for the small business owner, and a lot of small business owners want to be able to own their own space. The second location we did is in Garland. And if you guys think about Garland, if you've ever driven through Garland, very, very high industrial place. A lot of fabricators, value-added distributors, manufacturing-type businesses. So we always knew we wanted to be there. From a competitive standpoint, it's different than what we call our Turtle Creek location, and that it's very heavily banked. There's a lot of good independent banks over there that we compete with, but we've done real well there. Been extremely well received by the city. It's a very independent city. It's got a great chamber of commerce. It's got a great economic development department there. And then our most recent one is our Farmers Branch location. We call it Metrocrest. Metrocrest is that area of Dallas where Dallas, Addison, Carrollton, and Farmers Branch all come together. So we're in Farmers Branch, but right across Beltline is Carrollton. So we're right there at the corner of Webb Chapel and in Beltline. So they're not sexy areas necessarily. And what's interesting when you look at the cost structure of a bank, most of the time banks go into places that are retail oriented. And those of you that know anything about the cost of real estate from a rental standpoint or from an ownership standpoint, retail is much more expensive than industrial. So we're in our three locations on average at about $7 a square foot, where the average cost for retail is probably $22 a square foot. And the cost of retail, or the cost of real estate space, for example, in Preston Center, which is just a mecca of banks. I think there's about 35 banks within a one-mile radius there. But the average there gets up into $30 a square foot. So that helps our cost structure quite a bit. Plus, we're in close proximity to where our business owners need us to be. So,
well, by explaining what you're paying for your property, you're a business person understanding business, working with business people to help them do the same thing that you're doing.
Right.
I mentioned your website, but tell people how they can get a hold of you and the bank.
Okay. In addition to our website, we're pretty active on LinkedIn, so you can look up Texas Security Bank on LinkedIn. Feel free to contact me, Craig Sheaf. Craig.Sheaf@TexasSecurityBank.com would be happy to be resourced to any business owners out there. The one thing that I will say, and I understand from Steve that this is a station that obviously business owners listen to, but my encouragement to business owners is, man, you're doing the right thing. Congratulations on what you're building. And from a banking standpoint, I'd encourage you to look for a banker that is a good business person that happens to be a banker, because he or she can be a resource that helps to keep you out of the ditch. So.
Well, Craig, thank you very much for being a part of Playmakers Talk Show.
Thank you very much.
Craig Sheaf, and if you do want to get a hold of him, it's S-C-H-E-E-F. You can also get Craig's information off the PlaymakerTalkShow.com website, Texas Security Bank. Craig Sheaf is CEO of Texas Security Bank. We're going to take a short break. We'll be right back. Stay with us, but don't go away, because we have the CEO of Eatsies. We have Adam Romo. We're going to talk about food and how they prepare it and what they do right after this.
Join the fight against childhood cancer by joining the 29th annual Oktoberfest Run for Children on Saturday, September 20th. This family-friendly event is part of Addison's annual Oktoberfest celebration, with all proceeds benefiting Wipe Out Kids Cancer, a Dallas-based nonprofit dedicated to raising awareness and funding for childhood cancer research and to providing hope and support to children with cancer. There's a one-mile fun run and a 5K course, cash prizes, free food, German beer, awards, and entertainment. Also, receive one free admission to Oktoberfest on race day. Register at OktoberFest5K.com.
Operation Kindness is the oldest and largest no-kill animal shelter here in North Texas. Each day, its staff and volunteers care for an average of 300 homeless dogs and cats in its shelter in Carrollton, plus 100 more animals living in foster homes throughout the Metroplex. Learn how you can adopt, donate, or volunteer with this nonprofit group by visiting their website at operationkindness.org or by calling 972-418-7297. operationkindness.org.
And welcome back to Playmakers Talk Show. We're in store for an interesting segment. We're going to talk to Adam Romo. Adam is CEO of Eatsies. He joined Eatsies as its CEO in May of 2011 to lead the company's strategic expansion efforts. He previously served as a company's CFO from 1996 to 1999. A University of Texas alumnus, he began his career with KPMG, ultimately specializing in their retail practice group. Adam then spent 9 years with Brink International, which included Chili's and Maggiano's, and he was with them in a series of financial positions, ultimately as a CFO of Eatsies Market and Bakery. He also did some interesting things in between, which we're going to talk about, as I found out before the show started. Adam, welcome to Playmakers Talk Show.
Hi, Steve. Glad to be here.
Glad you are here. You were gone for about 11 years in between when you were CFO and the CEO of Eatsies. What brought you back to Eatsies after an 11-year absence?
Well, you know, I was at Eatsies when we started the concept in 96, and we were blazing new trails with Eatsies. That was back when the industry term for an Eatsies was home meal replacement. And nobody was really doing home meal replacement, although everybody in the industry, grocery stores, restaurants, were all trying to figure out people aren't wanting to – they're wanting a more convenient way to eat their dinner, eat their meals. So how do we deliver a more convenient meal solution? Well, Eatsies was when we started that and Phil Romano developed it, it was very unique. There was nothing like it, and we really were blazing new trails. So we went through a lot of iterations. We grew the business. We had a hiccup in New York City with two locations that didn't work out, and so I left to go do the internet thing during the internet boom in Los Angeles in California. But through several ownership changes, Phil Romano bought the concept back and started expanding it again. So he had bought the Oaklawn location, opened a second location on Lover's Lane, and really felt that he had the business model perfected in a way. And then plus, over that time frame, we really understood how the industry was evolving and how consumers were really using restaurants and grocery stores and fast casual type concepts. So when he decided to continue expanding it after those two stores, you know, he said, "Hey, why don't you come back and join me? Let's expand this thing." And so for me, that was very exciting to kind of go back to your bring you back to your roots. So since that time, you know, I came back. I joined Phil. We opened two more locations: one in Grapevine and then one in Plano. And all four stores are exceeding all of our expectations from a consumer standpoint, as well as from a financial performance standpoint. So that's what brought me back. And right now I'm looking for more locations. We're going to continue looking in the Dallas-Fort Worth area until we feel we've kind of saturated that market. Once we've reached that point, then we'll look outside the area. Primarily, we'll start outside of Texas. And then once we saturate the Texas market, we'll look outside the state.
You know, it's interesting. You really are the future. You're where everything's going. I was listening to a speaker this morning on a recording was talking about, he recorded this back in 1995, about how things had changed, how the Swiss owned the watch market, now the Japanese do, and how everything evolves. And I remember back 100 years ago when I was growing up, there were no C stores. And I can't believe I lived without a convenience store. Convenience stores came, fast food started increasing, restaurants, themed restaurants like Friday's opened up. They started having to go. You can go in there and you can do that. And you have an interesting brand position. I mentioned this at the top of the show about what you are not. You are not a restaurant. You are not a grocery store. Talk a little bit about your brand positioning, because you are really unique, and I see this expanding tremendously as people begin to understand who you are and what you do. So talk a little about that brand positioning.
Well, we really are unique, and the most difficult thing I find is trying to describe It's kind of the elevator pitch. People ask you, you know, what exactly is an Eatsies? I've never been there. And we say, well, we're part restaurant, we're part grocery store. But the way I describe it is we're a prepared meal market. We're selling meals, not groceries. Not grocery items, although we do have some grocery items for convenience sake. 80% of what we sell is prepared foods, and everything we make is made from scratch on site every day. So you can find anything you could imagine, any genre of food, you know, Asian, barbecue, comfort foods, Italian, steak, seafood. It's everything you could imagine. We have it, and we make it there. Fresh from scratch. The other 20% of what we sell is grocery type items that complement. You know, it's our wine, it's beer, it's the chips and dips and things that you know, we retail. We bring them in for convenience sake. So unlike a lot of people like to compare us to a Central Market or a Whole Foods, but they're primarily selling groceries, and their prepared meals are a very small part of what they do. We're the exact opposite. So like I said, 80%. We're making the food, we're selling it, and we're merchandising it in a retail fashion. So it's prepared before you come in, and that really kind of addresses the convenience factor, because people don't want to spend the time. You go to a restaurant, you got to wait to be seated. You're going to spend an hour by the time you order and get your food, eat it, finish it, leave. So you're looking at an hour and a half, hour 45 minute investment in your time. And today people are wanting to satisfy their meal need, their meal need in a much shorter period of time. But they also don't want to sacrifice quality. So they don't want to go to fast food. And that's why, you know, really you look at it, we're taking market share from the fast foods and from the full service casual dining industry. Those segments are shrinking because, again, consumers are wanting – they want food convenient. They want it fast, but it's got to be high quality. And so you're seeing this emergence of fast casual concepts like a Zoe's, like Panera's, those type of – Chipotle. That's a great example of somebody who's filling that niche. It's fresh food. It's done very well, and it's merchandised in a convenient manner, retailed in a convenient manner. And that's what the consumer's looking for now today. That's exactly what we do.
To get a good idea of if you haven't been to Eatsies, to get a good idea, go to Eatsies.com. That's EATZIS.com. And on the homepage, you'll see an amazing opera flash mob. Opera being sung in the store, because you play opera loudly throughout the store because you're a little bit different. The average time a consumer spends in your store is about 10 minutes, with an average of about, you want them 7 to 14 times per week. You want them playing on a regular basis. So you're a little bit different. You're not like the Whole Foods or the Central Markets or the restaurants, but you have a core element you call QVCPT. Talk a little bit about that and how that really – that really, as far as I'm concerned, is your elevator statement.
Well, it is, Steve, and these are our guiding principles. And we have five key critical branding elements, or core elements, as you said, that are really integral to making sure that we don't stray from what we're doing and we stay on point, and we really – and it guides us in everything we do. Every decision we make is based on the QVCPT. Q, quality. Consumers demand good quality food, high quality food. We prepare everything from scratch every day on site.
Now hold that for a second. One thing I did notice, and I know you want to talk about this is chef prepared food. This isn't a person that knows how to cook in a fast food. This is a trained chef that's making this food.
That's true. That's exactly right. We've got an executive chef in each store who guides a team of executive sous chefs who guide a team of chefs. So it's all chef-driven. These are people who are highly trained. They have culinary backgrounds.
They could be working at any fine restaurant in Dallas.
And they have. They have. Our chefs have worked at the Mansion. They've worked at the Ritz. They've worked at the Crescent. I mean, they've worked at very high-end restaurants. So they really understand food. And so the food culture is part of this, the quality factor or quality attribute. And it starts there. So if you don't have the quality food, you lose that audience. Okay, so then it's variety, because we have so many people. The reason so many people will visit our stores as frequently as they do. I mean, you know, up to 14 times a week is our half of our customers visit 14 times a week. Tell me somebody who goes to the same restaurant 14 times a week.
Eatsies now is their kitchen.
Right. That's exactly right. We are their kitchen. We're their pantry. We're their refrigerator. That's great. It's funny you say that because that's what Phil Romano loves to say. We're their kitchen. And
when you walk into an Eatsies, what are you walking through?
You're walking through the kitchen. So it validates that. That's the theater part of our equation is it validates, hey, everything is being prepared right here. You can see the chefs cooking the food. You can see the bakers baking it, baking the bread. And we have a $100,000 bread oven that we import from France. I mean, and that's what it takes to make the quality of breads that we do make and bake. Again, the variety, you know, we have over 1,600 SKUs at any point in time. And we're always rotating our menu. We're always adding new items. We'll drop items. We have seasonal menus. It's that variety that allows the people to come back as frequently as they do. You could have the best quality food in the world, but if your menu is limited, you're only going to come and eat there so often because you're going to get tired of it. And that's just human nature. So you've got the quality and you've got the variety. We've got that. Next is convenient. If you're not convenient, you're not going to get, no matter how good your food is or how much variety exists, they're not going to come. We learned that. Well, we already knew that, but an example of that is when we opened our Grapevine store. If you remember that highway project on 114, we opened right in the middle of that. Now, we knew it was going to be slow because that impeded convenience. People were avoiding that that area because of the construction. It was heavy construction. So for a year, we knew it was going to be slow, but we knew that was an area we wanted to be in, and we knew that location was one that we wanted. Well, once the construction finished, we are up double digits comps. And again, it became convenient now to get to that location. So, and when we think of convenience, we're thinking about the number of parking spots. We're talking about the ingress and egress. We're talking about which corners, the northeast corner, the southwest corner. All those things are very important, and they're things that we think through very carefully before we select a location. So now we've hit three of them, right? Quality, variety, convenience, and then price value. It's got to be fairly priced. And, you know, we price our foods for that, for the consumer to buy every day.
And the last one was a theater, and that's the fun they have when they go there.
Exactly.
Tell everybody where those locations are again and how they can get a hold of Eatsies.
Well, we've got the Oaklawn Lemon location, which is the original location. We've got the Lover's Lane and Tollway. We've got Grapevine, which is at 114 and William D. Tate. And then our newest location is in Plano, and that's on the Tollway and Parker.
Adam, thank you very much for being a part of Playmakers Talk Show.
Well, thanks for having me. This was fun.
This has been a terrific show. Join us at PlaymakersTalkShow.com where you can get all of our replays and past episodes. That's PlaymakersTalkShow.com. We're going to be back next week with more Playmakers. See you then.
Who will Steve be interviewing next? Find out on Playmakers Talk Show with Steve Klein every Friday afternoon at 3 on 770 KAAM. Hear this interview again by going to Steve's website, PlaymakersTalkShow.com.